Boom! Bam!
There it is. I love that intro, man. It never gets old. Yeah. It's a good one. You know, Jay did a great job on that. Good job.
Yes, he did.
Welcome, everybody. Another beautiful Wednesday evening. Thank you guys for joining us tonight at the Reptiles Unplugged live show. This is your host, Adam Hallblood. Beach Bum Exotics is my company name. You can find me over on Instagram, Facebook, Morph Market if you want to check out some available animals. And with me to my left or right, whichever way YouTube displays this, I can't remember, is my awesome co-host. Take it away, sir.
Shane Kelly, Small Town Exotics. You can find me on smalltownexotics.com. Patreon, Instagram, YouTube, all the cool places, and our badass technical producer, Jay from Green Lion Morphs. You can find him on Morph Market and Instagram, and we love his intro that he does. So thank you, Jay.
Yeah, credit to Jay. Dude, we are getting better and better with that. I tell you what, it only took us like 6 months, but we finally got here.
Well, it's like, how many of the places do you list, too? It's like, I mean, I got a TikTok that I'm never on, but I post there now, but I never go on it. Do I tell people that? You'll never get a hold of me on there. I can tell you that because I never open the app. So.
Oh, man. I know. I feel you. After a little while, it's just saturation overload with some of the stuff, you know? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, anyhow.
I have a LinkedIn profile, too, if you guys want to check me out on LinkedIn, too.
I do. You know, I have a LinkedIn as well, but that is actually professional. That's like my real day job stuff.
That was mine, too, but that whole thing turned into nothing but spam. Like, when I open that one up, it's like 30 messages in my inbox, like, buy this safety course, buy that. I'm like, God, this used to be about professionals networking, and now it's all about junk.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time. Anyhow.
We're already off the rails.
Yeah, we're off into the weeds already here. It's going to be a great show. And just wanted to give some shout outs and, you know, thank our awesome viewers for joining us tonight. We got Jay in the house. Thank you, sir. Going to be another great show. I agree. Got Ashley, always in the mix there. Second, but you were first in our book, Ashley, so don't let anybody tell you anything different. Thanks for always being there. We got Professors Pythons, Jamie, thank you. Excited to see the show. Thank you. Well, we enjoy you being here. Got Will's Hella Heat, timed that perfectly. Just walked in the door. Well, thank you, sir. And I was about to message you, but I saw that you reminded yourself. So, you know, hey, Tommy. Wow. You're in the comment section as well.
many talents there. You know,
many talents, man. Well, yeah. Multitasking. Graceful Pythons. Thank you for always being here as well.
And, wait. Graceful Pythons, Jamie. Happy birthday. It was a day or two ago. I don't remember what day it is, but happy birthday, Jamie.
Happy belated. Yes. Very nice. That was very nice of you, Shane. And we got Dale out there. What's up, good sir? What's going on? About to get rolling here. Oh, yeah. All right. Tonight is going to be a great show. We've got an awesome guest. I'm sure if you've been around the podcasting scene and have anything to do with ball pythons within the last couple of years, you've probably seen this person's face on your screen, digested some content, and got some good information from her. So let's go ahead and bring our guest in. Hey, hello. Tommy, thank you for joining us.
Hey,
appreciate
no problem. Yeah, it's always fun.
Definitely. And myself, hey, this is one of my first opportunities really to get to talk with you one-on-one. I know you and Shane, he's told me a lot of great things about you. So I'm excited to deep dive into this and get to know you a little better. Yeah, they're all lies.
She's about this tall. She has Cruella de Vil hair. I'm like, boom, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, he said some awesome things. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to do our little icebreaker kind of fire round questions. Get us started here. Kind of shake it up a little bit. No stress. Don't worry. No judgment. And by the way, that is the biggest water bottle I think any of our guests have had on the show. I love it.
It's my emotional support water bottle. It goes everywhere with me.
I gotcha. I love it. All right. Fire round question number one. You're given a plane ticket to go anywhere in the world tomorrow. No strings attached. Where are you going?
Madagascar.
Ooh, Madagascar. Love
good
it.
Choice. Yeah, good choice.
Style related or is this weather related? What's the...
I just feel like that it has some of the most interesting and diverse animals that you can't find anywhere else on Earth there. So I think that it would be really cool. I've done some trips to go see things like in Australia and Japan and things like that. Ooh. So I think Madagascar would be really cool though.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. It's been on my list as well. Same reasons, can go see the most amount of animals in one shot, like most unique, rare.
And the baobab trees. How could you not want to go see? Yeah. Yeah, those are amazing. I want to see those.
Very great answer. Love it. Love it. All right. Question number two. If your ball python formed a rock band, which snake would be the lead singer and what would their band's name be?
Oh, no, that is so really outside of the box and creative for somebody as logical as me. I would say it would be my super blackhead paint and it would be F you, I won't do what you want me to do. He's an asshole.
Nice. I love it. I love it. And that's a banger to throw out there. All right. All right. Just casually throws out. Yeah. Super blackhead. Love it. All right. Third question. If you could go back and give one piece of advice to yourself on the day you bought your very first snake, what would it be?
I don't know. I was really happy with my first snake. I would say, I don't know. You should probably breed that animal. I don't know because it was a long time ago. I was 13 and it was a corn snake. So I mean, it's been a while. I'm not a spring chicken. So
yeah. I feel you on that. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. My very first snake was a corn snake as well.
Okay.
Bought it from Kathy Love herself.
My mom named my corn snake, and so her name was Cornelia.
Cornelia.
What a corny name.
Your mom probably thought she was really clever when she did it.
She really did. Yeah, absolutely. But it tracks. My mom was goofy, so yeah, it tracks.
That's awesome. All right, last and final question is always delivered by Shane. Go ahead, sir.
This is the most important question of the night. Ancient aliens or Bigfoot?
I'm going to go with aliens because I don't know. Bigfoot's too close to a monkey.
All right. You're good. You can stay.
All right.
Interview. All right.
All right. Yay.
Yeah, we always preface these. There's no wrong answer except on question four,
I don't know. Was that really the right one then? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It's kind of like which one's more plausible, man, like ancient aliens or Bigfoot?
Yeah. How could you say no to corn, like corn circles or whatever they call them? Crop circles. Man,
the crop circles. Yeah. Cornelius is stuck on the brain.
Yeah, exactly. Cornelia corn circles. Okay.
Right? That's what we said too. I mean, so far we're batting. I think most of our guests, since we've been asking the question, have said aliens. We did get one Bigfoot, though, so not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Yeah. You did great, Tommy. So you're not too bad, right? Yeah, good job.
I'm happy. All right, thanks for having me.
Yeah, see you guys later.
All right, interview's over. See y'all next week.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we were doing it at the end, and then both Shane and I were like, well, it seems to kind of break the ice and get it going a little bit. And it's a little bit of fun. So let's just put it up front and see how it goes. So that's what
no worries. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So anybody that's not familiar with you or hasn't seen, any of the various podcasts you're on, give somebody like a quick 30-second little elevator pitch of who you are. Right.
I don't understand that question. Sorry.
just like a quick little introduction, like who you are, what you keep.
Okay. So I'm Tommy. My company is Inky Clouds. Right now I'm running ball pythons. So I've been keeping reptiles for 30 plus years. So I'm interested in a lot of different reptiles and have kept a lot of different things. So love chatting about all of them. I'm working too many projects to talk about, but I think my forerunners right now are Paint, Monsoon, and Cryptic, Pure Cryptic. Oh, and Monarch too.
And Monarch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it. Those are some cool projects as well.
Yeah.
And I like that you said Pure Cryptic, right? Because a lot of times, you know, it's Krypton and everybody's kind of running it into. So very cool that you're just running.
Yeah, I'm pretty anti-clown. That's pretty much my, I don't clown.
No clowns in your deal. Huh?
I have some het clown stuff that I've produced, but that's all stuff that I'm producing that I know I'm going to sell, you know? But most of my clutches are for me first and for other people second. And the clown clutch stuff is mostly like, hey, I just know there's other people that would want a blackhead vanilla het clown het paint, possible het hypo. So, you know, like that kind of stuff, you know, I produce for that reason.
Right on, right on. What were you going to say, Shane? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off earlier.
So you're a purist then, so no Krypton.
No.
Only Cryptic.
No, I don't want to produce clowns, so I don't want Kryptons.
All right.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm singled out because I work Krypton, but all right, it's all right.
Kryptons are pretty too. I mean, I don't find clowns to be unattractive, and I don't find Kryptons to be unattractive. It's just not my lane. It's not the lane that I've chosen because I don't want to. For me, I feel like I'm trying to like figure out how certain things work and stuff, and like I feel like I won't have the time to do that if I jump into clown, because there's so many people working clown and there's so much already done in clown, and there's so many people that have like large collections that would like breed a circle around me, because I have a fairly small collection, so I need to make it count, and so I've just decided to not do clown.
Okay.
No, that's right. I get it too. And like, I just had a Krypton clutch. Well, that was my goal animals, but you know, it was Krypton, the het clown. So I was like, I'll get some Kryptons and those will be my holdbacks. Every visual was clown. And I was like, man, all I wanted was Kryptons. Like, I got skunked. I mean, I did hatch some bangers, but I was like, man, I wanted the Krypton version of that, not the clown one. So,
and that's the thing that like people that have been trying to breed like Kryptons to get Cryptic stuff, even like that are put it to het Cryptics, they're ending up getting a lot more clown stuff or het clown stuff. And it to me, like, I don't want to have to breed away from something. I don't want to produce animals that like I know I don't want. Generally, like I said, that one clutch I did this year with clown stuff in it is for sale, but that was one clutch. So,
right. I gotcha. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, similar reasons. I have one clown female, and I'm actually trying to sell her. And then after she's gone, I will have no clown stuff in my collection. And it was just kind of the same reason for me. I picked my lane, which was kind of the puzzle, hypo, and desert ghost stuff. And that's where I've stuck. I don't hate clown. I think I really like some of the animals that I see.
Oh yeah, there's some really amazing clown stuff, but it's just, you know, it's somebody else's bag, and that's okay. And I mean, I think that the more that we all realize what we're actually passionate about and not just choosing things because we feel like the market says that this is popular at that moment, the better things will get, because we'll all really like start doing new things in these projects instead of just copy paste. I saw this, somebody posted this, I bought this animal and this animal to make the animal that I already saw, because you're not the only one doing that. So 2 years from now, when you're doing that, what are you going to do with those animals? You know? So I think that everybody paring down and seeing that people are starting to pick lanes, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. You said you didn't have a really large collection. Do you mind if you, what type of numbers are we working with here?
I probably have, I don't know, including hatchlings, probably 200.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's yeah, a little bit.
That's including this year's. That's including this year's hatchlings. So
right.
Generally, I think I'm going to be running about 120, maybe.
120. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, it's very similar numbers that I'm keeping over here as well. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go over 30 clutches.
Right.
Right.
And are you doing the maintenance all yourself, like solo, or do you have?
Oh yeah, help? It's just me. Yeah. I have somebody that does my rodents, but that's just because I have alpha gal and I'm allergic to the dander. So somebody else rolls those for me.
Oh, that's cool. So you breed your own rodents too for the collection. Mm-hmm. Nice, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. What were you saying, Shane? I keep cutting you off, man. Every time.
Go ahead.
So with the cryptic stuff, if you're not bringing it into clown, which is kind of like what I see the very common thing to do with that gene, is just to run it into the same stuff that clown's been going into, kind of. What angle are you going to take it? Like, what's your
hypo paint? Doing some DG hypo stuff. Since it's kind of like, I'm not going to say it's a discount gene for DG to be with it, but like, because it seems like it's attached to a lot of DG, I'm not like hyper focused on that, because I feel like that's where it's going to go for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. because it was kind of like, not attached to DG, but like it's found with DG a lot, you know?
Right.
So I'm not doing it, but I'm trying to do it as DG hypo, if I'm going to do it. And then right, those are the other recessives. And then, of course, you know, incomplete dominance are really important too, if not the most important.
Right.
So
right.
I'm trying to do blackhead, leopard. What else have I got going? Blackhead, leopard, bongo, lace.
Bongo.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Do a lot of blackhead stuff. Yeah.
Okay. That's a gene I had a little bit of, sold it, and then I ended up losing some of my animals in like a infrastructure malfunction about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And unfortunately, my blackhead stuff was over there, but definitely it's a cool gene, man. Ralph
blackhead, everything. It's like the center of a lot of my stuff. Like I've blackhead allelic stuff, like, yeah, you name it. I'm the spider complex person, not spider itself, but the complex.
I vote that we name it something else, like
spot nose complex.
Yeah, something like, you know, let's just take
blackhead complex.
Yeah,
fuck it, it's the blackhead complex.
There we go, we're rebranding it tonight.
Yeah. Well, I hear some people call it like the wobble complex. I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the good look, you know, we probably don't want to go with that, you know, like that's not good.
I mean, yeah, you can get some wobble, but you know, I think the supers of a lot of different things have issues. Super GHIs can like stay really small, be finicky eaters. There's all kinds. I mean,
yeah,
when you have supers, you can have problems.
Yep. Blue-eyed Lucy's were known to have kind of smaller eyes for, you know, and
things happen.
Yep. Things happen. And two, I think what we were seeing from a lot of the initial animals, like spiders specifically, the talk about it, was I think a lot of this stuff's been outcrossed and we're seeing the wobble less, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen wobble in super chocolate of mine, super blackhead, I haven't seen it. In allelic combos, I haven't seen it. The one thing I have seen it in is like super cypress, or I have a cypress Woma wobbles. That thing corkscrews. It doesn't wobble. That thing like
full on.
Yeah. Like you open up this thing and he's like, like, what are you looking at, bro? Yeah. So, I mean, there are things that you want to avoid.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. For me, with the spider stuff, probably all anecdotal, not really anything scientific behind it, but I always tend to keep them a little lower in my rack, trying to just keep them just a few degrees
cooler.
I've noticed heat kind of exacerbates that wobble in the animal. But yeah, my super chocolates have been good. Actually just had a clutch come out of the egg and everybody's been good on that one too. So yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
Hard to know.
Hey, Dale was going.
Okay. I was going to say, I haven't had no issues except I hatched a Powerball. That was like worse than any spider
Oh yeah,
I mean that thing was super gnarly.
They can be pretty gnarly. I can say for Powerballs, I haven't seen one that doesn't have a wobble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then you hear these guys you hear these guys like, oh, I have a Powerball clown breeder. Yeah, she's fine. No wobble and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, I got this pairing. I hope I don't hit it. And I hit it. And oh, man, that thing was horrible. I'll never do that again.
Send me a video.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's animal by animal, right? Like, I don't think it would be every Powerball out there, right? No. You know what I'm saying?
There's variance.
Yeah, definitely variance. But again, I don't know. It, like Shane said, it's not really something I seek. So like, I wouldn't probably do spot nose. Obviously, you don't do spider, right? The super chocolate stuff that I did, I will do it again. Like it. Didn't see.
Yeah, I think that they do okay.
Yeah, and like Jay was saying, animals that tend to kind of wig out a little. It seems to be like when they're excited for a meal or turned up in any way, like opening the tub sometimes just gets them going. Yeah, stuff like
that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. So with the rodents, breeding your own, man, that's pretty cool. Like, do you have enough that you sell, or is it just the quantity that you need for your animals?
It's just the quantity that I need. And sometimes I don't have enough and I have frozen thawed for that. But I use a dehydrator for frozen thawed. But I get the baby started on frozen thawed too, just in case people want them to be on that. Some people don't have facilities, or they don't have, you know, or they don't like feeding live. So I feed them, you know, whatever's on hand. There's no real rhyme or reason. I don't like go like, oh, well, you got a rat today, you got a mouse this day, and you got it frozen this day. It's just like whatever's the right size is what they get fed.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's nice about having your own stock too on hand, because you can just kind of go grab that right size and throw it in there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call on getting them started on frozen thawed. That's something that, like, I was thinking, all right, this year I'm going to do better at that. Cause last, like before I took my pause in breeding, quite a few of my babies, I would just start on live cause I had it available. It was easier for me, but I know quite a few customers were asking, hey, are they already started on frozen thawed? It's like, no.
Yeah. I tend to do my first meal as live, because then they're kind of like already understand eating and they've like already kind of done it already.
Yeah.
Additionally, using the dehydrator, I can set the temperature that I want it to be at, and they're not wet. So like, I can't stand like wet feeders, but like I normally set them to about 115 and I don't have any problems. Like they hit it every time. Like
I never even thought about that dehydrator. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I just do the water bucket method myself.
So. No, I have like one of those round dehydrators. I got it on Facebook Marketplace. And it has like 6 levels to it. I put them in frozen. I set it to 115. I wait. It depends on the time, because like I might have 60 rodents in there. I might have 30, and depending on their size too. But I just keep poking them, and then they're warm and they're dry and they're warm all the way through. There's no cold spots. It's really awesome.
Yeah. If you don't mind me, how long does that process kind of take? Is it like a couple hours total?
I'd say it's probably about an hour for them to thaw from frozen.
Wow. So pretty quick as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty quick. And also the nice thing is that you can just leave them running while you're feeding a level. So you're feeding a level and then everything's still hot.
Right.
It's not like water, where the water gets cold and you have to like soup it and it smells freaking disgusting. And like, and sometimes
it splashes in your mouth. I mean, it happens to me every time.
You accidentally ladle a little bit in there. Disgusting. Ew. Ashley, I am working some tri-stripe projects. Yes.
Okay, nice. Question was, are you still working any tri-stripe? So yeah, because I didn't hear you mention tri-stripe actually. And
tri-stripe's not like a front runner right now, because I just don't have a ton of animals. So it's not like a larger amount of animals. But I am running tri-stripe. I actually have a clutch in the incubator that I'm really excited for, because I put some incomplete dominants together that I've never seen done. So I'm hoping that it works well. We'll see. But I'm also doing hypo tri-stripe. I have a Desert Ghost tri-stripe clutch in the incubator right now.
Ooh, nice.
And I'm doing hypo DG. I have a clutch that I just did that's hypo, het tri-stripe, het DG, cypress, orange dream, inchy stuff.
Ooh, nice.
And what's the last thing? Mojave. Cypress, inchy, orange dream, Mojave, inchy.
Man, awesome. That's a lot of genes at play.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, I really try not to breed things that don't have any incomplete dominance in them if I can help it. Like some of the things I had to work up because I had to make my own hets because either other people weren't doing the project or they're not selling those animals. But I work them in as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I like it. Are you trying to work that allelic angle as well? Trying to, you know, that's something I've been doing with my incomplete dominance is actually when I'm looking at my pairings is like strategically trying to work in some allelic combos so I'm not producing normals and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely. I'd go for the alleles and the supers for sure. I have a super blackhead granite something or other. I can't remember what else they just hatched out. That is het cryptic desert ghost hypo paint.
Holy cow. It's nice. A quad banger. Yeah.
So definitely going for those pairings as much as possible. Especially for my whole backs, because I mean the less I produce what I would consider a less desirable animal, the better.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And kind of being at that boutique level, I think it's important to kind of structure.
I don't have the space. Yeah. Right. I don't have the space. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you got, Shane? You've been busy over there. I see you. What you formulating, hey, man?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to go off the reptiles for a second. Tell me about the wolves. The wolf.
Oh, yeah. Wolves. Yeah. There's no wolves.
I thought you did some kind of wolf thing.
No. It's the name of my business. No. So the name of my business is The Refined Wolf. What I do is positive reinforcement dog training.
Oh, okay. Mm.
I also do positive reinforcement training with horses.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
No wolves. So the refined wolf is just basically kind of like, hey, dogs are refined wolves, right? So,
all right, I get it. I got it. I'm picking up what you're putting down now.
I got it. That's cool.
All right, go back to reptiles then.
All right, none of your stupid wolf stuff. Let's talk about reptiles.
I remember hearing at some point that you used to do like venomous and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. I did venomous for, I think, about 20 odd years. Yeah.
So
nice.
It just seems weird that it was venomous and then ball pythons, or were you doing ball pythons and venomous during that time?
So the villain arc goes kind of like this. I start off with Cornelia. You remember her from earlier?
The corn snake.
You know, Cornelia. So Cornelia was my first snake. I had reptiles prior to that. I had turtles prior to that. I've had reptiles since I was 2.
Wow.
So, and I still have my first reptile because it was a Gulf Coast box turtle, and he still is alive and he is still with me.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've had him basically my entire life. My mom got him for me because I wanted a turtle, and she told me if I stopped peeing in diapers and used the toilet that I could have him. And then 2 days later, I had a turtle because that's how driven I was. So nice. DeLuna is his name because he's named after the DeLuna Festival in Florida. And then 13 was when I was allowed to get a snake because that was considered my, like, I'm responsible enough to have my own like snake. So I got her, and I started doing reptile education shows at the one of the local parks with one of the guys who did it there. So we were handling venomous at those shows because we were talking to people about venomous that they could find in the park. Not handling with our hands. We handle with hooks. Just making sure that nobody gets it twisted. Yeah, I don't want anybody to get it twisted. Tommy said she was handling venomous reptiles. So we were doing that, and that's where I kind of got my first kind of idea about venomous. Then my mom got me, when I turned 14, I got a copperhead. Another really cool name. Copper Penny. Anyway, she...
I love the names. What do I know?
Yeah, they're great. They're great. So that's how that kind of all got started. So during that time, I had her. I had a lot of different colubrids at that point. I also had varanids. I had like black ruffed tree monitors, green tree monitors, white throat and black throat monitors. I had boas. I had a ton of stuff because I was basically at that point going around to schools and to Boy Scout troops and all kinds of stuff doing reptile education. Then I just kind of like flipped the script after I had all those colubrids and all that mess and just went straight into venomous like full time. And then I just didn't keep anything other than venomous. And then I stopped keeping venomous for a couple years, and then I got into ball pythons. And that's how that happened. So it kind of like I've been all over the place with it.
Did you breed the venomous snakes?
Yes. Or...
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool.
I did breeding, and I did importing from other breeders in Africa and all that stuff too.
Wow. Yeah. Did you have Gaboon vipers and any of those? Oh man.
I had two Gaboon vipers and two rhinoceros vipers.
Wow. Man, the colors on those are wild.
They're amazing.
If we could get some of that over into the ball python world, holy cow.
That'd be insane. Yeah, my favorite venomous that I ever had was my horned vipers, though, even more so than my rhinos or my and my soft scale vipers are really cool too. I just like animals that have cool like behaviors, right? Like, so they're interesting to look at, because I mean when you have a venomous snake, you can't really do much with it other than look at it, right? So like I wanted them to have like cool behaviors or things like that, because I set them up natural as possible, you know, because you can do but so much, because you can't have a bunch of stuff on the way when you're trying to move them around and
get
stuff,
them in. Man, that's wild. It's so funny, you went from like super hardcore keeping venomous to ball pythons, like
I'll tell you, like the venomous, like they were like the Zen moment for me. Like they were like, when I was handling my venomous was like when I was the most calm. I'm pretty tightly wound, so like it was really good for me, I think, because I got like hyper focused, and it taught me, like, because my brain is like scattery, it taught me how to do that, how to focus and not pay attention to anything else and not think about random songs and all this other things.
Yeah, it's like a form of meditation. It really was.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then after I took care of them for a while, I was like, I want something easy, and that's how I came to ball pythons.
Right on. Okay. Yeah.
So what drew you to ball pythons out of all the easier species? Was it like the genetics, like that?
Like once I came back and I was like, holy shit, because like all this stuff was happening with ball pythons and I had no clue, because they weren't even on my radar. Like I'm like looking at, like, you know, what's the next venomous species I want to get. I'm not looking at ball pythons, and there's all this stuff, and like I got online and I'm like, holy shit, there's all this cool stuff you can do, and I'm like, that's super interesting. So yeah, that's really what it is like the artistic side of it, the project side of it, the DNA side of it was what drew me. And it wasn't anything specific about their behaviors or anything like that. I mean, they are easier to take care of. It took me a long time to get used to the fact that I could actually just open something up without just
grab it. And
like literally I was hooking them for a while, cause I was like just used to it, you know? Yeah. And like people are like, you got hooks? I'm like, yeah, I got a ton of hooks, but I mean, like, you got to when you have that many animals. So,
Yeah, right. That's got to be funny because, yeah, we mock each other in the ball python community for using hooks. I use a hook, like, yeah, just yeah. On, take the bite, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten bitten more in the last 2 weeks than I have, I think, in my entire life. I don't know what has gotten into these animals, but like, I've been nailed a bunch of times. It's ridiculous. I got bitten in the eye when I was younger. I have a snake tooth Ooh. Still in my eyelid.
What? Oh,
wow. Yeah. Like, I have like a spot that like I have to go over with my eyeliner. And it's like a bump.
And you could feel it right there. Oh,
yeah, you could see it too. Yeah.
Snake eyes, literally.
Yeah, there was a guy a few years ago, he got bit like in the eye too, and it like hit his eyeball, and he had like the bloody eyeball and the whole
nine yards. Yeah, I had bloody eyeball and all that stuff too. I was like hanging out with my California king snake, my eyelashes hit it in the face because I was falling asleep, and it was like that, and it went wham, hit me in the eye, so.
Was like, you don't hit me, I get you.
I was like, I'm trying to sleep, bro. Yeah, so that was that.
I'm not, that's so, one thing. Oh, good.
I was just gonna ask, like, so how long have you been on the ball python side?
5 or 6 years, I think now. 5 or 6 years now. I don't know. I don't really. 7 years. I don't know. Time's a construct for me.
Yeah, I get it. Like,
I don't even know how old I am. I was filling out paperwork the other day and I put the wrong age. I was like, I wrote it down and then I was like, damn, hold on. And I got on my calculator. I'm like, nope, that's not correct. Right.
So, I've done that myself.
Like, that is not right. Yeah, I think it's, I want to say closer to 7, but I don't know, 5 to 7. No, it can't be 5 because 2020 would be 5. Closer to 7. Closer to 7. Right. Yeah.
On 2018, 2019 or so 19. Is when you're
somewhere there. Like that. Yeah, and I wasn't like, I didn't go full bore. Like, that's when I was just like, hey, I like these. Like, you know, it wasn't.
Yeah. I wasn't. So what was the first morph you bought?
Super mahogany het pied.
Oh, man. Nice. All right. Going for the suma pieds right away.
Yeah.
Sweet. You still work in mahogany or?
I do. I still have that girl. She's a pain in the ass. She has yet to go for me.
Wow. I've got one or two like that too. And I'm like, I will get you to breed one of these.
Like
days.
Literally, like project, she breeds, right? But she's like, look at me. I'm changing colors. Look, I'm getting light. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, yeah. And then she's like, haha, bitch, I'm hungry. I'm like, what? Like, hate you.
I had a girl like that. Here's your light at the end of the tunnel. So I bought her in 2019 too, and all this time she never did nothing, but she actually went for me this year for the first time.
She acted like it again this year, but she was like, man, never mind. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. I'll just continue feeding you until the ends of time. And the other thing is, like, she got to like 1400 grams. She's a super, so we know this. She got to like 1400 grams. And like, she will not get longer. Like, she just like, if I feed her more, she's just like, oh, look, I'm obese. And I'm like,
right. Okay. She just goes wider. Okay.
Yeah. She's just like, and I'm like, all right, cool. And then like, I'm like, she's never getting bigger. Like, she won't breed and she's never getting, I just want to yeet her because she was like a gazillion dollars back then.
Right.
A gazillion. Right.
That's a lot. A gazillion is a lot of dollars. So.
It's as many dollars as I had in the moment. Yeah.
And it is always like that too. You know, the one that you really want to go or whatever, just is like, nah, not happening tonight.
Uh-uh. Well, yeah, that girl I had that I was just talking about, that was like, she cost me $2,000 back then, which was like my biggest purchase at that point. And then here I am 6 years later and she finally goes and she's like worth $100 now. You know, I'm like,
that's the thing nobody talks about because everybody's like, oh, I'm just going to buy her and I'm going to breed her, get her up to size and she's going to breed. And people are like, you're like, that's not really the way it happens. Like,
yeah. So sometimes it happens. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. So.
Yeah. The good old ball pythons, right? You know, that's little just
little jerks.
So what was your first banger male that you bought for breeding purposes? Do you remember?
I think it was the mail that I got for her, like, because that was a, it was a visual, super mahogany cinnamon piebald mail that, that got up to size and then got killed by a really large female.
Oh, what?
Like, yeah, so I had,
female slammed him or something, or
no, she just refused him, and he was that much smaller than her, because even though he was up to size, she was like ginormous, and like she refused him, and I didn't realize that she was refusing him because she acted like she was happy with him, and it opened up and she was on top of him, and he wasn't dead, but like he ended up dying either from stress or from like not getting enough oxygen or God knows what, because it was like that night when I, after I took him out, he was like, his body was like pink from her laying on him, like from the substrate, like pushing into his skin, because he's a piebald, you know, you can see that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. She killed him.
She crazy.
Him. Huh. Yeah, what a jerk. What a jerk. Yeah.
That's a first for me. I don't know if I've ever heard of that before.
She just like, she just like pinned his ass down. I was like, no.
Right.
Like, damn. Like,
proverbial like, fat girl sitting on you. I will sit on you.
Yeah, yeah. He thought it was She's kinky like, until it wasn't. Until it was.
They didn't exchange safe words.
So no, exactly.
Lesson
he's like,
learned.
He's like, bro, skin.
She didn't hear. She didn't hear. Oh, man. Dude, that's gnarly. Yeah, I, you know, the ball pythons, I have not had a female off a male. I've had a couple of females buck and slam. Yeah. Where yeah. I was kind of worried for the male. I'm like, dang, yeah. man, if one of those catches him, that could break some ribs. You know, that could really yeah, hurt him.
I had a girl bite a boy because she was having a feed response. Like, like I went to put him in and she's like, this is mine. But she realized, she thawed him up, bit him and took him. And I'm like, oh, you're going to give him back.
Oh, man, it's like you're breeding hog noses over there.
It's ridiculous. Those are the two, like only those two things have ever happened. But those were both traumatic, so.
Yeah, yeah, definitely first for me. Yeah, I mean, I've had a female kind of take a shot, but didn't connect or wrap or do anything. And it was like a feeding response. I opened the tub.
That's all it was,
In and, you know. And
she's like, oh, thanks.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, you know, being in this for 7 years now, I guess you've got a pretty good like understanding, foot on the ground, you're doing it. You have any advice for new people coming in? I know every once in a while through the show, we have some new people watching. So we always kind of like to think about them.
New people advice.
Yeah. On like either like maybe a, yeah, where you want to take
it. I would say like, I don't know, like for me, I think the most important thing for new people would be is to learn how to ID incomplete dominance, and also do not say codom, say incomplete dominance. That's those are the two things that I have to say.
It is hilarious because I've been doing this for over a decade, breeding ball pythons, and ever since I first came in, that battle has been ensuing. The, you know, incomplete dominant is the correct term, but we were all taught codom off of some post out there.
Stop teaching newbies codom. Stop saying, if you need to say something short, say inkdom, and if you need to remember not to say codom, think it sounds like condom, and that's ridiculous, so don't say it.
All right, I like your style. Word association.
Exactly. We're good. Exactly. Yeah. I'm telling you how to make it shorter. I'm telling you why.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of good videos that say why codom is wrong for sin.
And I've actually made posts about it. I will. Yeah, it's happened. that's my thing I'm standing on. But yeah, I would say definitely do some research on how to ID, because although we do have shed testing and it's an amazing tool, if I see one more person on Facebook saying, oh, I don't know what that is, it's obviously a spider. I don't know what that is. You should shed test it. Like, I'm going to lose my shit. Lose my absolute shit.
You
don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
I was just in a chat like a day or two ago, and I get these random pictures of snakes in a ball. In the dark, can you ID this? No other information, like no pairing or nothing. And I'm like, God, just like, why?
No. The breeder said it's a banana. Well, okay, then it's probably a banana. I don't know. Right. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I love this, Jay. She's teaching obedience lessons to newbies. Just need the treat bag.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need some positive reinforcement here, Tommy.
Right. If you do the right thing, that's when you get the positivity, okay? Right.
So with you being so like involved on the genetic side and mm-hmm. like, you know, you're kind of known for that. Do you get a lot of people DMing you to help them ID?
Yeah, I get a good amount of that. And I'm always ready and willing to push it to somebody who might have more experience in that project. And I think that that's part of the problem is like, even if you're well read on how to ID things, like know what your limitations are too. Like for me, like when people send me clowns, I'm like, I don't know, bro. Like, I think this, this, and this, but like, I know this person works in that project and works these things. Maybe you should ask them. Because I've never will, like, even like on, like when I was doing Morph Map and whatnot, like when I did that, like my goal was to bring on people that are working that project and are specializing that project and chatting with them, like not only about like what I see, because like I want verification of like, hey, I think this and this and this, but like teach me more shit too, because I want to know, like you've been specializing this. Like I may or may not have even ever worked this gene. Like, tell me, right. Like I can look at pictures all day on the internet, but that doesn't mean that I know everything. I want to learn from other people too, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the problem with going off some of the pictures on the internet is they're just as fallible as us. They could,
they're wrong. That, there's yeah, wrong.
I
mean,
I see pictures of like projects I'm working and I'm yeah. like, that's not that. Like that's wrong.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was at the Fredericksburg show last weekend, and like literally, there were so many mis-ID'd animals on tables. Like, I was literally, once again, almost lost my shit.
Yeah.
Crazy eyes.
Hey, how was that show?
That show was pretty cool. It was a lot smaller. I went to the one like that you were at there in North Carolina, and that show was a lot bigger, but that seemed. They both seemed very busy. I don't know how the vendors did. I was there on Saturday. I didn't go on Sunday. But it was, they had made it into a smaller venue because they were afraid of like people not showing, but like the parking lot, literally you had to drive around looking for a parking spot on Saturday. So the whole venue was full. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. The turnout was really nice. There was definitely some cool animals there. I didn't end up picking up. Oh, I did. I picked up flightless fruit flies.
Okay. What are you feeding with those? What do you got?
I breed velvet spiders.
Oh, okay. Right on.
So I have three different subspecies of velvet spider.
Whoa, gnarly. Man, the spiders, I just can't. I get the heebie-jeebies when I think about them.
I love watching them. I love watching them. I don't touch them. I treat them like my venomous snakes. Like, I just like watching them do things, man. Like, I think that, like, I'm not, like, completely comfortable with spiders. I worked with spiders a lot because, like, early on, because when I was 13, I got a job at a local pet shop to pay off a black roughneck monitor. And they had like a bunch of tarantulas and stuff there, like old world and new world stuff. And I had to deal with all that shit, whether I wanted to or not, you know? So I learned a lot about them, but I don't like big tarantulas. Velvet spiders are, you know, I don't know.
They're pretty small.
They're fairly small. Yeah. And they're really cool to watch. Like it's like a fish tank to me. Like I like watching them up things. I really love bugs in their webs and watching them come out and kill them.
Yeah,
the eating process. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I used to keep a bunch of carnivorous fish too. I enjoy carnivorous fish. I had snakeheads and all that jazz. I'm kind of a morph person, I guess.
Yeah, got a little dark side to you.
yeah, that's people make fun of me because they're like, "Oh, she has a bunch of dead stuff in her freezer." Like, I mean, I like to preserve dead animals. I have skulls, like a skull right behind me. Like, I don't know.
Oh,
I don't,
yeah, that's cool.
I don't find that stuff scary or weird, but.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I love skulls. I got them tattooed all over me.
I do too. Them. I have them in my armpit.
I got spider webs in my armpit.
Man, is that hurt? I have.
Let's go armpit for armpit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Crazy. That's got to be a sensitive area to get tattooed.
That was 7 hours because it's realism.
Dang.
7 hours, one setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got skulls all over my body, but yeah, I found them really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Growing up,
Silver Dragon. Sorry. Silver Dragon said, I can attest to not wanting to piss you off with a high t-shirt.
But going back to that topic, I think if, you know, some advice to new people coming in is truly go scour good pictures, learn how to ID, ask questions of people working those projects to learn how they're IDing it. It will help you make better decisions in your breeding projects, right? Because you'll actually understand the morph.
Yeah, and also get a mentor that or, you know, ask somebody that everybody knows or you've heard people say good things about. Because there's definitely people out there charging money for you to ID shit and do shit like that that should not be doing it. So, I mean,
People charge money to ID other people's snakes?
Oh, like, hell yeah.
Are you kidding? Yeah. That's something I mean,
it's a snake ID only fans.
I know, that's crazy.
But so wait. I got to interject something though, real quick.
Let's talk.
How about this? Yeah. Say you get into the peanut butter jelly morph. Nobody really works it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you? This is me. I would go to the guy I bought it from and be like, here's my first clutch. This is what I'm thinking. Can you help walk me through this? That would be
and
my
you should,
first clutch.
And you should always be available for people that buy stuff from you to do that. Absolutely, exactly. 100%. But I've definitely talked to people who have sent me stuff and I'd be like, oh, have you talked to the person? And they'd be like, oh, well, they're not answering my questions. They're not answering my messages. You know, like people sell shit and they're like, not my problem.
Right.
But to me, that almost sounds like they may have not thought that that was actually in that animal and they want to kind of like push it off because then they don't have to try to ID it and stuff that you're selling.
Very well could be too, you know.
Because I don't know. I don't know. Or some people just don't want to mess with things. And I mean, whatever, but I don't know. I feel like it's part of the package. Like, yes. And I think that, you know, yeah, it's part of the package. If you sell something, you know, you should be there to help those people and mentor them if they need it. You know, I mean, because at the end of the day, we are selling a project a lot of times, but that project includes living fucking creatures. And we need to realize that, you know, like people are going to get them. Even if you ask all the right questions, people are going to get them and they're going to mess up and they're going to make mistakes. So if you're not there to help them, then you're abandoning something that you brought into this earth.
Yeah.
Right.
I totally agree with what well said. Yep. Very, very, very well said. I think it's one of the things lacking in our industry, right? Is that care after the sell kind of thing. Most other pet industries, it's kind of expected that after the sell that you're going to be there and help. Dude, reptile industry, it's like, where's the back door? I sold you the animal. I'm boning
getting out
as quick.
Yeah exactly. And, right. Yep.
Yeah. And it's something that that's why it's one of the first questions I ask when somebody's buying a snake from me, do you intend to breed this or not? Because our relationship will be different, right? If this is a pet to you, I'll always be here to answer questions for you if you have them. But I'm probably not going to bug you or do anything. You're kind of on your own. Come to me if you have issues. If you're a breeder, then, you know, it's going to be like, hey, let's talk projects, you know, and figure this out. See if it's the right snake for you. I've probably talked more people out of buying snakes from me than I have talked them into buying snakes, you know.
Well, that
good
also
job,
goes,
Adam. Good job.
that also goes both ways, though, because I've checked up on animals that I've sent out. I've been like, hey, it says that you picked them up. Do you like it? Joel. Or are they safe? Da, 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 da. And then, like, people are just like, into the vapor. Yeah. Like I'd never hear from them again, you know? So
yeah, I don't know. You can't, you know, what are you going to do in those situations? You've tried your hardest, right?
Yeah, exactly. Type of
thing, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Then they go ghost MCBO.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. What's up, Joel?
Toronto is amazing, Will.
I just had to shout out Joel real quick, the old host there. What's up, buddy? Yeah, and cough bongo. I love bongo.
I love bongo too.
Yeah. It's my bongo girl, she exhibits a lot of green. Like a lot of green tones are coming through her. And I've noticed there's kind of two versions. Silvery, green. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed some other bongos out there that don't quite have as much towards the silver green tones.
Are they bongos then, or are they just animals that exhibit some linking?
Yeah, see, that's
because I feel like it's super common, I think, because I've seen a lot of things like bongo, and it's just animals that have linked alien heads that happen to come into that clutch. And what we tend to discount is the fact that, like, some of the things, like when we have an animal, if it looks a certain way, there's more than one thing a lot of times that are exhibiting that, making that look in that animal. So sometimes, like, my bongo shoots black granite animals too. Because there's granite in her, right? So, but like, they're not bongo. They're granite.
Right.
But people just see something that looks different and they're like, well, it must be bongo. And that takes us back to, like, you need to know what you're looking at.
Yeah. See, this is kind of what I've been saying, especially with the bongo stuff, where I'm like, no, I'm like, I don't think this other stuff you guys are seeing is bongo. I'm like, bongo, look at the tones. That's going to tell you a lot with that animal.
They get that silvery grays on the sides and the greeny colors, and they get that the dorsal all the way down, like that thin pinstripe dorsal, not pinstripe but pinstripe.
Yes. Right, right.
The dorsal stripe that is solid and those are the characteristics. If you don't see that, then it's not necessarily bongo. Like, normals can get linked alien heads.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, polymorphism, right? I mean, everybody underestimates that. And, you know, a lot of these animals, we can't forget, they've been in breeding programs 30, 35 years at this point. So what you may be seeing is not just a simple gene mutation like we try and attribute Pastel, right? This is years of line breeding. So that's why when you take it over into this unrelated animal, you're not seeing the same results, right? Or you're seeing different.
Well, that's just like, you can take the same male to two different females and get different looking animals, because even if the female is not carrying something that we're calling a morph, even if it's a quote unquote classic or normal, it has its own genetics that are at play, and everything that it's not just discounted because it's normal. It's not like it's a blank slate and it just lays eggs and has no part in what happened there. And I think that a lot of people don't take that into account. You know, like, there's a lot of variation in quote unquote normal ball pythons that we haven't named or isolated those variations, but they're still put into every baby that animal has, whether it's a darker animal, if it has linked alien heads, if it has a black back, if it, you know, just because it doesn't have a name doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah, very true, right? It could either be an undiscovered gene, could be a case of line breeding, and it could just be a simple, well, her wild type had more granite type features.
Exactly. Right? And that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think it's the fun part about genetics, and it's one of the things that keeps me interested in the ball pythons a lot is stuff like this. Yeah. Well, Shane, what you got, man? I know we're encroaching on that hour. We always like to, you know, keep it around the hour mark if possible.
Tommy, when you're deciding your pairings, are you doing it purely for like the art and the genetics, or are you keeping like the market in mind? Is, you know, how much is it of it is art versus like the market, the current market on a project? Or does the market even matter?
I mean, the market's always going to matter. I think that we would lie if we said it didn't, because otherwise, if I'm not thinking something is marketable, then I'm just thinking that I'm holding back everything that I'm making, which is not possible. That being said, I can't really like say that I will know how things might hit the market that I'm doing, because some of the things that I'm doing, I've had people, I was talking to LaVance about this earlier. I've had some people tell me like, hey, you know, like you're not doing a lot of clown stuff. Hey, you're doing this and not that. Like, you know, like how are you going to sell your animals? Because you don't have a large audience already built in for the animals that you or the projects that you're doing. And for me, I think that I'm going to do my best to just try to create my own market. So because I don't know what the market is, because I haven't seen a triple hit hypo, like hypo cryptic paint for sale. I don't know if you have, but like,
yeah.
10,000. I just started 10,000. You can always go down. You can't go up. You know. Yeah.
Shit. I don't get those rules. I go up if I want to. Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're interested at 5? Well, it's 7,500 now.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what? I was gonna hold it back now.
You have to let us know how that strategy plays out.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bring you back on in a year, like marketing with Tommy. Let's see how it went.
And you'd be like, so Tommy, how many snakes do you have? I'd be like, 653.
Nobody wanted to buy them at 10 grand.
Exactly. And I didn't want to budge. Exactly. Exactly. 10 grand sale, 9999.
But that is hard, though, creating that new stuff that's not on the market. You don't have a barometer.
People like to look at something and know what they're going to make. And I don't have a lot of that right now that I can just, I mean, I just hatched I'm 99.9% sure, an Xanthic monarch. Ooh. I've never seen one of those.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Xanthic T positives, but not specifically monarch. So that's right. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
So
right on. I wonder,
that's what I'm saying. Who knows?
Yeah, is it out of the egg or still it's mm-hmm. still height? Is it? Yeah. Did it a lot of the monarch tones kind of carry in where you
it
know?
Looks a lot like a an Xanthic ultramel, but like richer. Like it's like
some darker some colors
purple,
in there.
So, purple and purple and like peach.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's really smoky. It looks fake.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I like it then. I like it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, Xanthic T positive, not a common project as well, but I think a lot to kind of do there for somebody who's wanting to do stuff nobody's done. And it's a cool palette, I think, to kind of.
It's a really cool palette. And I'm really the next thing I want to do is get I want to get darker jeans into it because I want that purple to become because it's like a really cool smoky purple already. I mean, it hasn't shed yet, so I'm excited to see where it goes without any extra genetics. But like, I'm very excited by it. I'm very excited by that.
Yeah.
That possibility. Yeah, and I like the Xanthics too. So.
Yeah, but you were saying about like having to like create your own market, but something like that's marketable to the Xanthic people or the Monarch people that want to branch off. So, I mean, you could tie in anywhere with newer projects, you know, so.
Yeah, I think it's a boy too. So that shit's flying straight into cryptic.
Yeah, that'll be a nice pattern mutation to throw in there for that color palette.
Yeah.
Dude, right on, man. That's a fun project. Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. What's this? I'm just out here pairing worms. I think we all are, Carl. That is true. When you boil it down, that's what we're all doing, sir. Yeah. Definitely.
That's silly.
Well, Tommy, it's been great chatting with you tonight.
Yeah.
We try and keep these things around an hour, like I was saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything that we didn't get to talk to you about that you were kind of thinking you wanted to bring up or?
No, not that I can think of. I just kind of came on here like, hey, let's chat. That's kind of otherwise awesome. If I get, like I said, I'm wound tight. So I get nervous every time before these things that I don't know why, because it's not like I've never done it before, but
Well, you did great tonight. You imparted some wisdom. We had some good laughs. So appreciate you spending some time with us.
Yeah, no problem.
If you want to shout out your socials, where people find you and how they get a hold of you and all that good stuff.
Sure. So I'm Inky Clouds on Instagram and on Facebook. I just recently started my Facebook. I don't know why I don't want to. I don't have anything else, I don't think.
You're over on Morph Market under Inky Clouds as well.
Hey, you're right. I do have a Morph Market, but I don't really put much on it. So if you're looking for animals that I'm producing, it's unlikely you'll see them there. Your best bet is to DM me.
Okay. There you go. Awesome. Well, with that said, everybody, we're going to do our last little closing out of the show. We've started this new thing where we pull up this window. We go over the top chatters of the night and we give appreciation and all that stuff. So let me get that screen shared and we'll wrap it up here with Tommy in the episode tonight. Just a second while I figure out how to do this again. Every time it's a new experience. All right, here we go. And tonight we've got our top three chatters out there. We've got Catalina Morph Mixer, Ashley always. We got Will's Hella Heat, number two. And we got Jay, Mostly Ghostly Morphs, as number three. Man, this is going to be a hard competition, y'all, beating Ashley out of number one. I don't know if anybody's going to get it. This is
She's number one every time.
Every time. We appreciate you, Ashley, always being in there commenting and making a good time in chat. So appreciate you. Definitely. All right, everybody. Well, again, thank you guys for joining, commenting, and we've had a great conversation with you, Tommy. So replay crew, if you guys are out there, leave us a comment if you're catching it. Same thing with podcasting. We're over on Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Music, whatever it's called now. All those great sources. So leave us a comment over there if you're listening. And with that said, see you guys later. Have a great evening.